Welcome to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange. Today's topic is IBM WebSphere Transformation Extender for the Absolute Beginner. Today's presenter is Paul Brett. Paul is a Senior Enterprise Support Analyst in IBM WebSphere Transformation Extender Level 2 Customer Support in the UK. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Paul.
Thank you, Joseph. Hello and welcome everybody to this technical exchange. I want to thank you all for joining me and hope that you find this session both interesting and informative. Let's review the agenda, which is on slide 2. Today I will be covering the IBM WebSphere Transformation Extender basics for the absolute beginner. I will be starting with some general concepts, giving you a feel for the positioning of the product within the IBM WebSphere portfolio, and hopefully an idea of where and when you might want to use the product. I will briefly go into the terminology that I will be using and provide a set of analogies for both programmers and non-programmers. Next, I'll take you through a step-by-step of creating your first WebSphere objects, a type tree, and a map. Nothing too serious at first, your basic Hello World example. A slightly more complicated example will follow, building upon the concepts of the previous example, but adding in a functional map to allow for variable quantity input and output. The session will be rounded off with a short summary, a few pointers to some further reading and sources of online help, and finally a Q&A session. Advance to slide 3, please. What is WebSphere Transformation Extender? Well, at its core, it is a software engine to transform data from one format to another. WTX takes any kind of data as input. Using drag-and-drop methods, it is possible to mold that data into a different output structure. More complex transformations can be made, still without any manual coding, through the use of a predefined functions library that can be opened and selected from with ease. Please move to slide 4. The WTX engine can be called a number of ways. The command server is an interactive and scriptable execution engine for one-time execution of a map. The launcher, previously known as the event server, is a Windows service or Unix background daemon process that can be defined to execute maps based on given conditions, such as the arrival of a file, WebSphere MQ message, or SAP IDOC, the insertion or update of rows within a database, and fixed and repeating intervals of time. IBM WebSphere Message Broker includes a WebSphere TX node, so that a map can be executed during a message flow. The execution engine can be called from a number of industry standard programming languages, such as C, Java, and COBOL. With additional modules, the maps can be exposed as web services to form part of an SOA solution. The DataPower web appliance also has the ability to execute WebSphere TX maps. Maps can also be called from a number of other products in the WebSphere family, such as WebSphere Application Server and WebSphere Process Server. Please move to slide 5. WebSphere TX is available for execution on a variety of hardware and software platforms. Windows, all popular flavors of Unix with a 64-bit option available where appropriate. Linux on i386 architecture, again with a 64-bit option available. ZOS, Batch, IMS, SDK, and Kix on the mainframe. And now also ZOS, USS, and Z Linux. Please move to slide 6. During the presentation, I have used and will be using terms which may be unfamiliar to you. Type tree, for example. Consider it nothing but a hierarchical dictionary of object types which describes your data. To the programmer, the type tree is much like the header of a program where all the variables are defined. To the non-programmer, think of a type tree as a room full of filing cabinets, each with drawers, each drawer having pockets. On reading the input, the engine assigns all the data into the various type tree objects, or variables, or pockets, depending on how you look at it. A map. A map is nothing but a set of rules defining if and where the input is to be used in the output structure. To the programmer, an executable map is much like the main routine of your program. Functional maps would be regarded as subroutines. To a non-programmer, think of a map as a filing clerk who moves all of the pieces of paper from one of the cabinets, drawers and pockets in one room to the cabinets, drawers and pockets of another room. Please move to slide 7. Here we come to a view of the product itself. The IBM WebShare TX Map Designer is based around the Eclipse design tool. Eclipse is a Java-based, standardized, open-source design environment which is used by many IBM products. For this next demonstration, I will assume that you have the product installed and have created your default workspace. Up in the top left, you can see the Extender Navigator. Right-click the Extender Navigator and choose New Extender Project to prepare a new project ready to accept your new WTX source objects. Please move to slide 8. Right-click on the Pipetree branch of the Extender Navigator Projects tree, and you can choose New Pipetree. Give the Pipetree a name in the dialog box that pops up. I have chosen to call this Pipetree Utility. Please move to slide 9. Right-click on the root object and choose Add to create a new default object. Overtype the default name with something meaningful and appropriate. This new default object will take most of its properties from the parent. In this case, the class is a category, and this needs to be changed to item. Once this is done, it will become a text object of indeterminate length with no special characteristics, such as an initiator or a terminator. You should take this opportunity to explore the Extender Properties window whilst the new object is selected and familiarize yourself with the various options available, but don't change anything at this time. Choose Save from either the File menu or the toolbar. That's it. You have your first usable, albeit very simple, Pipetree. Please move to slide 10. And we will begin to create the first map. Right-click on the Map branch of the Extender Navigator project tree and choose New Map Source. Give the map source a name in the dialog box that pops up. The name I've chosen here is My First Map Source. Please move to slide 11. You've created an empty map source file. This will contain your executable and functional maps. Right-click on the top-level object in the Outline window to start the creation of a new map. Give the map a name in the dialog box that pops up. As you can see, I've used My First Map as the name for My First Map. Please move to slide 12. Expand and review the Outline view now that you have an empty map ready to populate with cards. When you are ready, you can right-click the card area to the left of the mid-divider line to create a new input card. Slide 13, please. Using the example here, a minimum of 4 detail items needs to be completed in the properties tree. You need to give the card a unique name within the map. Using the selection button next to the Pipetree field, choose the Pipetree created earlier. Using the selection button next to the type field, choose a type within that type tree, and here I have chosen text block in the utility type tree. Finally, using the selection button next to the file path field, choose an input file from the disk or type a file name with an optional path manually. Please move to slide 14. As with the input card, you right-click the card area, this time to the right of the mid-divider line, to create a new output card. Populate the card details as before, this time with a different file path and file name. Move to slide 15. Your map design area should now look like this, with one input card and one output card, each card having just a single blob object. You can now drag and drop input objects, in this case the in-one top-level card object, shown here on the left with a diamond-shaped icon, into the output rule out 1. Move to slide 16, please. Your completed map design area should now look like this. Although this map will build and execute, it isn't going to do very much in its current state, basically copying the input file to the output file. So let's add some functionality. From the Rules menu, select Insert Functions. Move to slide 17, please. Here we see the Functions list box. Expand the All category of the Functions list box and scroll down to find the uppercase function. In the All category, every function is listed in alphabetical order. Each function may also be found in one or more places in the Functions list box under the specific category branches. From the Functions list, drag the uppercase function and drop it over the top of the equals in one rule already created in your output card. Please move to slide 18. As you can see in the picture in the top left, the function is added around the existing rule, so in one becomes uppercase in one. Find and drag the leave alpha function over the top of that rule, and it changes once again, the rule becoming leave alpha, uppercase in one. This drag and drop coding is a fundamental part of WTX design. As you become more experienced with using the rules, you'll find yourself creating them manually and rarely referring to the functions list box. Please move to slide 19. The map can now be built and run and the output viewed. From the map menu, choose build. And then again, from the map menu, choose run. Please move to slide 20. From the extended navigator, you can select and open your input and output files. With a bit of dragging around, you should be able to replicate the view shown in this slide and have an almost real-time view of the output as it changes. I'll go through the various elements on this screen. On the left, as you can see, you have the design area still shown with the rule created in the earlier step, top left. To the right of that, you have the input file displaying hello space world with an exclamation mark. And finally, you have the output, which is the input converted all to uppercase and all the non-alphabetic characters have been removed. Please move to slide 21. A slightly more complicated map now, for which I have pre-created the basic type trees and a shell executable map. Let me take you through the elements on this screen. On the left, you'll see that I have two input cards, each matching the input files shown on the right. We have a list of fictional departments and another list of fictional employees with their hugely inflated salary details. A single output card represents the output format I require, which is a report of department names and the accompanying total salary for that department. What I need now is a functional map. As I mentioned before, think of a functional map as a subroutine. I need to loop around for each department and get a total of the salary for that department in addition to the department name. Please move to slide 22. In the rules cell, I enter a functional map name, passing in the repeating element and any fixed elements I require for calculation. In this case, the repeating element is department, a subsection of the department's top-level object, and the top-level object employees. These two elements, separated by a comma, are in the bracket called, for the functional map call, F underscore each department. I'm taking the department down to the subroutine and also a complete list, as I require the functional map to loop around each time, once for each department. But each loop will require access to the entire list of employees. I right-click the rule after it has been entered, and I'm presented with the option of Functional Map Wizard, which I select. Please move to slide 23. The Functional Map Wizard checks for rules where functional map does not already exist, and assigns input and output cards accordingly with default names. A rename of the input card is optional, but it will make sense later. As you can see here, I've renamed in1 and in2 the department and employees respectively. Once the functional map is created, it will appear in the outline view. Double-click this functional map in the outline view if it is not already displayed in your map design area. Please move to slide 24. We've arrived at the functional map level, and we have one department, but all the employees. Using the drag-and-drop technique described earlier, it is possible to create the rules to populate this line of the output report. This functional map will only create one line, but it's called multiple times, once for each department. Please move to slide 25. The first rule I've added here needs very little in the way of explanation. I've just dragged the department name from the input to the output. The second rule is a little more complicated. Firstly, I'm doing an extract on the salary field from all the employees where the department number matches that of the single department number, which was the input parameter for the first card. Surrounding this rule is a sum function to create a total of this number. This functional map is called for each department, and thus each line of the final output is built, as per the next slide. Please move to 26. As you can see, the output file is one line per department, and the salary totals do indeed reflect the complete salary picture for all the employees that belong to that department. That's the end of the mapping demonstrations. Let's move to slide 27 for a brief summary. As mentioned and demonstrated, WTX takes any kind of data as input. Using no coding, I've shown that simple transformations can be made with very little effort. Using a step-by-step approach and an understanding of your input data and output data requirements, mapping can be made easy. Moving to slide 28, this chart includes links to a number of sites that provide valuable online resources for WebSphere products. DeveloperWorks offers an in-depth technical information. The events link on support pages points you to webcast and conference information. Visit WebSphere.org for user group information and more product information. The IBM Education Assistant consists of self-help modules to get new users up the learning curve quickly. The ESR tool is for Passport Advantage clients to open and update problem management records online. And the My Notifications link on all product support pages let you sign up for weekly email updates for products of interest to you. I'd like to turn the presentation back over to Joseph at this time.
Thank you, Paul, for a great presentation. At this point earlier, we would like to open the line for questions.
And no questions in our queue, Mr. Lamb. Back to you.
Thank you, Dahlia. At this time, we will conclude the presentation.